With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Big wheels keep on turning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. There was a goalless draw in the Premier League, and Neymar stitched up Richarlison. It's Tuesday, 20th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
It's a terrific Tuesday here at Ramble HQ, you lucky sausages. My goodness, what a show we have for you. Before we get to that, though, we want to tell you about a brand new episode of At The Match, which is now available over on Football Ramble Presents. Andy, you went to one of the few grounds in London where fans are allowed in.
That's right. I'm sipping a lovely green tea now, which I didn't get at Peckham Town, but that was the only downside of what was a magnificent afternoon that I spent with Luke and young Finn, of course, from production. So tune in. You'll get the feeling of fans in the stadium. It's been too long for so many of us, and there will be more at the matches in the near future.
Is it fair to say you had a Luke and a Finn? As opposed to... do subscribe to Football Ramble Presents wherever you get your podcasts. So get involved there. Right, gentlemen, let's start with the game that had the goal from last night. It was Leeds United 0, Wolverhampton Wolves Wanderers 1. Raul Jimenez with a peach.
Now, is this the Luke Moore Calvin Phillips lobby? Or am I missing something? How is that not a Phillips own goal?
Yeah, I don't get it either.
It was going on target. I think if it doesn't matter how
If anyone else hits that, it's an own goal. Because it's Raul Jimenez, we're thinking, oh, but there's going to be some mystery curl at the end.
He deliberately put it off his eyelash or something.
No, but do you not think that that's the rule, isn't it? If it's going on target, it doesn't matter how fast or slow the shot is.
Even if it takes it past the... Even if it's going towards the goalkeeper and takes it away from him. Because I don't know. The contact seemed deliberate from Phillips to me. It's not like it was.
Jimenez hit it off Phillips into the goal.
No, the opposite. I'm saying, like, I think Phillips was trying to sort of clear it away, rather than it being a proper deflection.
It's not a deflection. It's a move towards the ball.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Which is different. So say if it was on target and Calvin Phillips had booted it in the top corner. Yeah. I think that's what you're getting at, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Is that what you're getting at? And it seems like maybe not booting it in the top corner, but sort of comparable to that. I don't know.
I think
I've got nothing against Calvin Phillips, despite the recent Twitter narrative. I think it's great, but I also think he scored an own goal last night.
I think the narrative is with the dubious goals panel, of which neither of you are members, but it sounds like you're trying to get in there. Mm. But I won't vote for you.
The role I was born to play,
indeed, Jim. I won't vote for you because I don't get a vote. I don't know if you do that or not, but. If the shot is going on target, because you can say, oh, well, it was going straight to the keeper. Well, the keeper might have a little fumble, mightn't he? He might fall over something. So, like a big blade of grass. His thought process, perhaps, he might stumble on that. So I think that's it, really. I mean, it was very fortunate because he sort of jinxed all along the box, didn't he, Jimenez? And he's thinking, we'll pass it. And he thinks, oh, I'm going to plant this in the top corner.
Do you think it was because the build-up play was so good? Mm. Everyone, apart from myself and Andy, has gone, oh, would you give him that?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it was a shame that the goal that was disallowed wasn't... that was a proper goal. That was a proper strike, you know.
But it
was correctly ruled out, wasn't it? It's one of those ones where it's, oh, that's annoying because it was so good.
No, definitely correctly ruled out, and we can all sit on that moral high ground that football now operates.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Feels to be on the right side of it for once. Can we share some love for Wolves' Portugal away kit?
Oh my goodness.
Just lean in. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
The cojones on them. I'm aware that's Spanish.
Yeah, we're near enough, Jim. And what would the Portuguese be for cojones? Cajones?
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, but they, I mean, they're not a nation of bullfighters, are they?
Well, of course, Portuguese people never swear.
Yes. presumably, Jose Mourinho picks up that, gauntlet that they all laid down.
He's inventing new swear words for their dictionary as we go.
I'd imagine...
There are so many fucks in Portuguese football. I don't think there's a
clip.
I wasn't expecting that, Andy.
Andy Brassel.
He saw the table. I know that was on Twitter the other week of the swear table. He wants to move up.
I do. I don't think there's room for any other words.
Apart say something else outrageous, Andy. But I'd imagine, Andy, you know, sometimes when celebrities or famous people are very nice and very very well presented, very clean cut, and then you meet them or you hear about people who do meet them and they're kind of effing blind and they're not quite the same. It's Cristiano Ronaldo. I wouldn't be surprised if he likes to effing blind a bit.
Oh, he loves a swear.
Yeah.
He loves a swear, old Ronnie. Yeah.
Apparently David Beckham's the same.
Yeah, well, I know that. I remember Andy himself telling me that before. So yeah. Beckham, Ronaldo, Breach, they're all like it.
I think Jules is almost in the Sami and Nasri bracket, I have to say.
Yeah.
And that's a compliment, Jules, if you're listening.
Anyway,
back to the Portuguese kit. Yeah, I mean, it's
great footballing swearers of our time.
I mean, it was a good win for Wolves, you know.
Well, they had to dig it out, didn't they?
They did, as we know that Elland Road is a difficult place to go. Bielsa said that there should have been, differences between Leeds and Wolves at half-time, meaning it was quite a nice way of wording it. There should have been goals between the two, of course. Leeds will be a bit disappointed, but I mean, they've had a decent start to the season, of course. Wolves, though, Andy, a bit like, was it last season? Certainly a recent season with Wolves in the Premier League, they started a little bit slowly. People often talk about that sort of Europa League and blah, 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 but they're sort of grinding through the gears and they're getting to it now, aren't they?
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting how Nuno was asked in the post-match about how is it that Wolves could get it done in the back half of the game, because that's what they did so well for most of last season. And it was incredible, like when you were getting into February and they were still winning games in the final 20 minutes. Now, you know, of course, the point at which they started their Europa League campaign, which has been the subject of, some would say, interminable repetition last season, you would have thought, you know, they're done by November physically. but that they're clearly so well physically trained. They're so well looked after. And we're starting to see a little bit of that again after a few little dips in intensity at the start of the season. I mean, this felt like proper Wolves rather than photo stat Wolves, which we had a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. No, I know what you mean. What about Adama Traore, talking to people who are well looked after and well trained? There was chat that Barcelona, I know he played for them previously, was sort of sniffing around. And then
we're going to add him to the endless list of players that Barcelona would like but can't afford.
Yeah, but I mean, there was also Liverpool mentioned, but I mean, perhaps a little bit fanciful. You could see him where he would fit into that system, but apparently he was keen to stay at Wolves, which you can understand. Yeah. They've built something, and of course in this pandemic time as well, it's a bit of a strange one.
He's going to start at Wolves, isn't he? And you wonder whether that would be the case at Barcelona and Liverpool. I mean, it almost certainly wouldn't. And you feel like, you know, with a player at the stage of his career, you just want to. You want to play as much as possible. I think, you know, if he continues on the trajectory he's on, in a season or two, maybe he does go into a team like that as a starter. But now, I think, is probably the right time for him to stay at Wolves.
For now, he's got into the Spanish team, which is a huge thing for him. And it took a while to get in that team. And I think now, you look at the way that Spain play, and we still, I think, mentally think of Spain as Xavi, Iniesta, small blokes, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting, I think, that they're starting to rely on more direct players. Like Ansu Fati, you know, he's still so young, but they're becoming quite reliant on him already. Then you look at Dani Olmo, who does have that technical skill, but is a bit more of a late-in-the-box Frank Lampard-type midfielder. And then you look at Adama on the other side, and there's this shift, especially under Luis Enrique, who's not opposed, of course, to quite direct football at times, as we saw when he was at Barcelona. Yeah. If you're Adama Traore, you think, this is my time. Why would I want to go to a place where I'm not the centre of things? Mm-hmm. And he's had to work so hard to get to this point. It didn't work for him particularly well at Villa, although that's partly the situation that they were in at the time. Then there was Middlesbrough, and you look at Wolves, it took him ages to get going there. I think if you're smart, you just take a deep breath and think, yeah, I've got it good here for the moment. I agree with Jim.
Yeah, we all agree with Jim.
Always.
Not on everything, though.
With everything.
Okay, Andy, we'll see you in court.
By the way, Kolioish.
Oh, yeah? Ali McCoy-oish.
Cojones.
There we go.
but yeah, people don't use it nearly as much. It's foddish this and foddish that.
Is would that be a swear word, or is it just a descriptor?
No, it's rude. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Good.
All right. Just, sorry. Yeah.
Because do you go up the table for swearing in different languages?
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Twitter. Let us know. It's out of our hands, I suppose, isn't it?
Let's move on to West Brom versus Burnley.
It is definitely out of our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We know you're not looking. No webcams on today.
And it was the first goalless draw in the league this season, in the Premier League this season. What a bore fest. You'd have paid $14.95 for the privilege, Jim, of course.
Great news for Vish, though.
Great news for Vish. Why was that?
Because he thinks there's too many goals.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that's right. Yeah. I was thinking, did he
did this.
Yeah.
Burnley to the rescue.
Yeah. God. I mean, yeah, you're going to be fuming, aren't you? Uh-huh. You paid.
Well, the two goalkeepers played their parts, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
As they should. Branislav Ivanovic nearly scored. It's an under the radar signing, that
brilliant
one, for West Brom. I mean, I was aware he was there, but we haven't sort of mentioned him too much since he's gone. He nearly scored as well. He was right up there. Why? I mean, do you think this is a wise move for him, Andy? What is he, sort of 36 now, something like that? Coming back to the Prem,
he's been decent from Zenit. I mean, for Zenit, I think there's a big difference, though, in that, you know, coming from a team, I mean, people talk about the difference in leagues, but coming from a team that dominates everything to a team that's at the other end of the table, that's an absolutely enormous adjustment, isn't it?
Mm. Definitely. And I mean, has Ivanovic really been in a situation like this before, other than that freak season with Chelsea, where they seem to be flirting with relegation for about 2 weeks?
Well, now we're going
Mourinho's third season, second time.
As we know, none of them actually played in the first half of the season, so you can't really accuse them of being involved in that situation.
I mean, it's a big, big step up, isn't it? But at 36, obviously, he's a wily character. He's experienced. He's going to know what he's getting himself into. And, you know, we're not going to get the sort of Ivanovic of his heyday, who's arguably, one of the best right backs the Premier League's ever seen. Mm. So I think it's a canny signing for West Brom, because the experience he's going to bring, even if he's not going to start every game, is going to be invaluable to those players.
He's still got that fantastic rear, though, hasn't he, Jim?
Powerful buttocks.
Yes.
They're like engines, aren't they?
Engines.
It's like a muscle car when you can see the engine coming through it. It's like that.
Exactly.
It's a muscle arse.
Now, we have discussed this before, Marcus. The fact that next to the Hawthorns, certainly last time I was there, right next to the Hawthorns is one of the finest Caribbean takeaways I've ever been to.
Okay.
So I will definitely get an opportunity to work on that.
How did he get on in Zenit, Andy?
Yeah, well. And,
did he not break something?
Oh, yeah, the Russian Cup.
Yeah, he broke Is that why he had to leave?
But, I mean, it was made of glass.
Stupid. Oh, well, fair enough,
it's
then.
Absolutely stupid.
Fair. What should it be made of?
But players... Metal?
Really?
Like most cups?
Yeah. No. I think
they've used the good china there. That's the equivalent, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? The good glasses. You don't just have them out all the time. It's for occasion when you're going to be careful with them. You don't have them for a party, which is effectively what a trophy... presentation is, isn't it?
I've got a problem with Andy's reaction there, though, because it's like, imagine if you smash it and go, well, you shouldn't have made it a glass. You shouldn't drop it. You shouldn't be reckless
Accidents happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, Andy. What about...
He didn't throw it under a bus like Sergio Ramos did.
He didn't throw it.
Yes, he did.
Have this.
Come on.
I've got too many of these. It's fair to say, though, this game wasn't a classic. Of course, we've come to expect a lot of goals, so nil-nil. I mean, was the Connor Cody post-match interview in the Wolves-Leeds United game more entertaining than this match?
Yes.
Andy? Yeah, okay.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Although, much as amusing as I found it, Connor Cody, of course, he had the sort of exclamation, oh, did he? When it was very high-pitched, I think, which made it, when he found out that young Kilman won the man of the match. But I did laugh about that a little bit too long in the studio, I thought. Mm. You know, sort of like when you go to the theatre and you're watching Shakespeare when you're at school, and like there are just a few people in the auditorium who want to prove that they got this joke from a couple of hundred years ago. So they go, when Shakespeare's not actually that... I'm sorry, he's not actually that funny.
Big words.
I was going to say, when you say something like that about a man like Billy Shakespeare.
About the bard.
Exactly.
And I'm very appreciative of his time at Walsall. Don't get me wrong, he was brilliant there.
Okay, well, he was never in Burnley, as far as I'm aware. And they should have probably had all 3 points, Jim. It was their first point of the season. Much like Fulham got their first point of the season recently as well. So they're down in the mire. We know Burnley can get out of this situation.
Yeah.
But if you're a Burnley fan, you'd think to yourself, can we not be in this situation?
Yeah, can this stop now? You do wonder, actually, if Burnley are going to be affected a bit more than most teams through the lack of crowds. I mean, there's one thing sort of making do at the end of a season in the situation, but looking at, this situation where we don't know when that will end or even if it will end this season, like Burnley are very... Their home support is amazing, isn't it? They really, really G them up. They've bought into the way Burnley play. There's no sort of complaining about, the style and the kind of rugged nature of some of their play when they need to play that way. So I wonder if without that, they just lose a little bit. They lose a little bit of oomph.
Yeah, I see that. And you do think Turf Moor, good old-fashioned ground, don't you?
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, because Burnley maybe aren't that glamorous, there's not really been a wider media discussion about some of their problems at the moment. The fact that Sean Dyche and the board aren't really getting on. The fact that they haven't really signed anyone.
Mm.
And that is a problem for a lot of Burnley fans, I think. And it's a problem for Sean Dyche. And, he's almost been stereotyped as, him and Burnley are the same. I think he gets a good job somewhere else if he's not there, and maybe that is that point after this season. But I think you look at where Burnley are, and they're kind of in that, I guess, that Swansea spot, aren't they? In that they've had a little tickle of Europe, but they're not going back there in a rush. And how do you carry on pulling the club forward in that sort of situation, knowing that you're not going to break that top bracket, and particularly at the moment, you're not getting in the top six? It's simply not happening, whatever the miracles are that Dyche has performed. So the only way is really a slow slide back to the Championship, unless you address the situation. And that's why there's some sort of anxiety there at the moment, because it doesn't feel, I don't think, like there's a positive plan to take them forward. How do they you know, you have to look to get onto the next level in the Premier League to even tread water. Mm-hmm. That is the thing, isn't it? Because it's such a competitive league. And you look at, say, what Villa have done this season, for example, regardless of where they end up, they've made positive steps forward. And that's a good example. But it's also an example of the fact that, you know, if you don't want to end up getting sort of glued into the bottom six like Villa were before, like Sunderland were before, and goodness knows what happens when you actually fall out of the Premier League, then you have to make those positive steps. And I think there's a feeling that Burnley aren't really addressing that at the moment.
They've got to be careful, as you say, because we've seen this with other clubs. I mean, you could even go all the way back to somewhere like Charlton when Alan Kerbish...
They're a great example.
You know, it keeps them in the league, that it keeps them sort of ticking over.
Previous incarnation of Southampton.
Exactly, yeah. You know, it's that kind of thing. And if Dyche goes, then can they get someone in? Can they do a job? But if Dyche stays and then there's fallouts and then, as you say, it begins to kind of just slow down. I think Dyche... he's biding his time. He's waiting for the Atletico Madrid job, Jim.
You reckon?
It's a like-for-like change.
It's absolutely like-for-like, isn't it? I'd love to peer into the alternative universe where that happened.
This match, of course, was on pay-per-view, and Slaven Bilic had something to say about that. He said, "Football is not polo or golf. Football should not be free, but affordable. It's the sport for the masses, a working-class sport, and it should be affordable to everybody." Well... let's finish the half on that note, because we'll talk about Newcastle United fans after the break, gentlemen, who did something quite wonderful. See you in a moment, everybody.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe, and this is the Football Ramble.
You're damn right it is, Jermaine. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Before we talk about Newcastle United fans, let's have some correspondence.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Do you remember the first incarnation of that email jingle when lots of people didn't like it? Goodness knows what they think about that one. Never challenge Pete. You've just got to hope he improves.
Yeah. It's like a hydra, isn't it? That one head off, two will grow back.
Let's face it, Jon Bon Jovi wishes he wrote that.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
That was always his dream, wasn't it? To just be a sort of like jingle writer. But it just got out of hand. His mates Tommy and Gina's lives were just too interesting. He started writing about them and it all took off. They'd be fuming with that.
Well, what's his name? Was it Hawkins or the Darkness lead singer? He wrote jingles.
Yeah, wrote the X Factor thing, didn't he?
Yeah. No, really?
Yeah. Talking of things getting out of hand. Yeah. Oh, we enjoyed it for six months, 3 months, whatever it was.
Yeah, it didn't make itself onto the Best of the Darkness album.
No. Or maybe it did. I don't know. Who would know?
Who would know?
Presumably Andy.
Charity shops would know.
A darkness completionist, if that's a thing. Right, gentlemen, let's have the first email from Akshay Mistray, who writes in. James Rand also mentioned this as well. He said, "Hi, guys. Speaking about odd player name combinations in a single team and that emailer's attempt to try and force through a move for Tim Ream, I have a quick story about the Charlton backline in the early to mid 2000s. Another mention for Charlton. Charlton's defence consisted of Luke Young, Mark Fish, George Costa and Jonathan Fortune, whose surnames combined to make the line Young Fish Costa Fortune. Very, very enjoyable.
Just odd. I think my favourite of this sort of thing is when Portsmouth had Benjani Mwariwari and Lamanu Trezor Luwalawar up front, and they also had Papa Buba Diop in the midfield at the time. Uh-huh. Just the three exceptionally just joyous names, but when you put them all together, it sounds great. And it reminds me of an email we once got about a listener who said that whenever he heard Papa Buba Diop's name, he couldn't help but think of the one of the levels from the original Super Mario games, and say it's Papa Buba Diop. And that has stuck in my head ever since.
Oh, I like it.
Brilliant.
One way to remember it.
Yes, so we've got another email here from Andrew Whitock. Hello, Ramblers. I'm writing in to highlight the similarities between Lanzini's recent screamer against Spurs and a last-minute winner from Sebastian Larsson against Spurs way back in 2007, which I instantly remembered after Lanzini's strike, despite being only 9 at the time. Unlike Richard Dunn's Thunderbolt, footage of this goal is readily available if you Google it. I'm just surprised I haven't seen anyone make the comparison between the way both goals were completely sliced to the point of being a miskick, as well as both being scored into the same top corner at the same end of the ground deep into injury time. As a Villa fan, sitting through compilations of Birmingham City's best ever goals isn't something I ever thought I'd do, but when no one I spoke to remembered Larsson's strike, I felt compelled to find it. Gareth Bale was also playing in this one, by the way, but wasn't on the pitch at the time, having done his ankle, leaving him out for the rest of the season. Thank you very much, Andrew Whitock. Former Arsenal player Sebastian Larsson there.
This idea about slicing the ball and to the point of being a miskick, I think, is a touch harsh.
Yeah, I think you may be onto something there.
Is it shades of Wayne Rooney's overhead kick against Manchester City?
Where
just had loads of people going, should it? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The thing is, though, like that diminishes it in any way.
Yeah, but the thing is that he still stuck his leg up there. It's just hit a slightly different point. I know what you mean, but that I don't think you can call that a mishit from Lanzini. Well, to be fair, he hasn't. He said it's to the point of. But putting the word miskick in that sentence, I think, is a bit piss poor. He should be ashamed of himself. Don't email in again. No, do so, but just do it better.
It has made me remember, you know, when we were talking about great goals that are maybe not committed to film, I was thinking of one in the Emirates Cup by Michel Bastos for Lyon against Celtic.
That is a name I've not heard in a while.
Where he absolutely, great left foot. He absolutely leathered it in the top corner. From, you know, a point where you think, I think Celtic thought, he's not going to have a shot from here. You know, it never even crossed their mind. In fact, they didn't even think he's not going to have a shot from here, because you wouldn't even think that he was going to shoot. So he smashed it in the top corner at the home end from absolutely miles off. And you think, oh my God, I can't believe you just wasted that on essentially a friendly.
Yeah, it's funny though, isn't it, because that situation is quite ripe. If you've got the right position to take a sort of sneaky shot no one's expecting, like a goal is massive. A goal is absolutely massive. So if no one is thinking to defend it, you've got a big opportunity there. So if you hit that sweet spot of no one expecting you to do it,
it's true.
Especially if you've got one of those left feet. I have to say, the thing about Michel Bastos, who's still one of my favourite players, actually, for a number of reasons. I think we always think about his great left foot goals. My favourite Michel Bastos moment was when he was introduced, when he signed on loan from for Roma to the Roma fans. And obviously someone just passed him a scarf and he didn't really look at it. So the pictures of him being introduced to the Roma fans were him in front of the Curva holding a scarf that says Lazio are shit.
Oh, that's what I thought you were going to say. It was maybe another team or something like that, which would have been particularly disastrous.
Yeah, that
at least that's sort of fitting.
Yeah.
But talking of great long range goals in friendlies in North London that perhaps have been forgotten about, just YouTube, I assume it's there, Mark van Bommel's goal against England for the Netherlands in around 99, 2000, I think, or maybe 98, something like that. Oh, beauty. Last email here from Joseph Phelan, who says, last week FC Cincinnati signed its very first homegrown player. The 17-year-old goalkeeper's name, Beckham Sunderland. Love that.
What a contrast in footballing fortunes. Could go either way.
How are you, lads?
It's like you can imagine Bex himself like seeing this guy's name and going, did I play that? I know a lot of us went there on loan and maybe played a year or two
post Man United.
Was it me? Did I go?
Yeah. Well, Beckham was the new Beckham, I suppose. Beckham Sunderland was born in July 2003, which was the same summer that saw David Beckham sign for Real Madrid, which Joseph says, I can only assume played a part in the naming process. Also, the Premier League season that had just ended in that summer saw Sunderland relegated with a measly 19 points, which was at the time the worst ever point return in a Prem campaign. So yes, Jim, it backs up the obvious point that very differing footballing fortunes.
Yeah.
I have to applaud his parents in coming up with such a unique way to commemorate these two huge footballing moments.
I love that though, because the alternative is, oh, they've been so bad, we're going to have to change the family name.
Oh, love that.
Like if you had a child called Ibrahimovic Derby County.
Yeah. Why? Oh, I suppose, yeah, the point's tally.
Yes.
Thought you were just having a little dig at poor old Derby County there.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
I don't know, Andy, but you are sometimes fueled with malice and hatred.
Are you getting defensive because you know that Fulham are gunning for that record?
How dare you? a point further away from it or towards it? I don't know. Right, gentlemen, staying with northeastern football clubs in this country, Newcastle United. A lot of their fans boycotted the pay-per-view scheme and donated to local West End food bank in Newcastle, and they raised £19,000 roughly.
It's brilliant. A few other clubs have done similar, haven't they? And
yeah,
it is fantastic. What a damning indictment of the situation we're in that this is even happening. Mm-hmm. Like it is a great thing and it should be applauded, but if you take a step back and actually look at the circumstances we're in here,
it's well done. I think Leeds United fans. I think there's been a number of other fans
as well. Man City.
Yeah. But it is brilliant though. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are very unhappy about the £14.95 we've got to pay extra for some of these games.
And I think you have to say as well, Marcus, you know, it's not the richest part of the country as well.
Yeah, exactly.
People have been hugely generous here, especially as a lot of them, well, all of them, haven't received money back for the season tickets.
Yeah. It's outrageous, isn't it? And also, I think, you know, a lot of places like this, they take donations after games. Mm. So with the crowds not being there, they're suffering from that as well because they don't have these huge crowds
Milling
about
to
make donations.
So no, it's absolutely wonderful.
It's a brilliant bit of thinking.
Although,
it's been well executed.
To give the other side of the argument, that's not the argument about giving to food banks, it's the argument about, is Richard Masters, the Prem CEO, said that the pricing was defensible. And he said the broadcasters were responsible for setting the price, but BT Sport have said that it was the league's decision.
Mm.
Does that constitute an argument for this pricing, Andy? Or does it just confuse everybody and make us dislike them even more?
What a big load of old nonsense.
Yeah. It's too much, isn't it?
I think just piss off.
If they'd offered it as a fiver, I don't think we'd be having these conversations.
Mm.
I think people would still be annoyed. But like 15 quid. It's more than a Netflix subscription for a single game.
It's not in line with any other sports pricing.
No.
Around the world, you know, you look at, you know, the league passes that you have in NBA or NFL or anything like that. It's just nowhere near. You look at, I think, what must be very frustrating for fans, Premier League fans, and you can see it with, I guess, the fact is there are no global secrets anymore, are there? You know, everyone knows what stuff costs in other countries. And, you know, you look at the packages that people have in the United States or Germany or other countries, and that makes it even more ludicrous, and that means it's being rubbed in the faces of fans. And I just have to say that the club's sort of using the broadcasters as a human shield and basically saying, oh well, you know, just allowing people to say, oh, Sky and BT It's absolutely outrageous.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, when it's the clubs that are doing it to cover their own losses in a very small way, which we know they can swallow.
Mm. So it's a great shame. It is a great shame. But well done to those Newcastle United fans and to all the other fans who have done such good works there.
Yeah, great work.
The Champions League returns this evening, everybody.
You're going to do the theme tune?
Not a cappella.
No?
No.
Not a cappella? What, yeah. So you're going to get like a full orchestra?
Yeah, well, they should be here in a moment.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. And if not, then blame them for doing that. They'll blame me, of course, and then, you know, we're in a similar situation. But yes, Chelsea playing Sevilla. Goals in that game, surely. Mm. And Manchester United away to Paris Saint-Germain. It's the normal format for the Champions League. Fans can attend where local laws permit. So France and Germany can have restricted numbers in stadiums, maximum 30% of the capacity of the stadiums, no away fans, of course. I mean, we'd like to see a few fans let in here, but that's not going to happen. But let's take Chelsea versus Sevilla, Jim. That does have goals written over it, surely?
Absolutely, it does. And I feel like Timo Werner has been activated now.
Yes.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like he needed to get a Premier League brace, maybe, to sort of... I really think he's going to have an amazing season. I think he's a brilliant player, and he's just so ruthless in front of goal, isn't he? He's got that, like, I know they're very, very different players, but you know how when a chance fell to Andrei Shevchenko, you just think goal.
Mm. Yes.
Like, Werner's got something of that about him.
What, not a Chelsea, though?
Very much not a Chelsea. Yeah, no, very much not. But I feel like he's kind of got a couple of good goals. We're going to see that.
You could have picked any other top striker.
No, but you know what I mean, though.
When Mattia Kesman, you just thought goal. Not at Chelsea, maybe in the Eredivisie.
Yeah, no, fair point. But I stand by my caveated point, my retrospectively caveated point.
Yes.
Proper Shevchenko.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Peak Shevchenko.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm just excited about seeing him, which is, you know, pains me to say that about a player in a Chelsea shirt, but I do think because of how good their forward line is now, and Kai Havertz as well seems to have sort of got a bit more settled, I figured both of those players would settle quickly. I think you're absolutely right. This screams goals. And I wonder about Sevilla, because obviously their aim is to get into the Europa League through this, so they're probably looking at losing this game.
Yeah.
So it might be a good one for Chelsea.
It could be. I mean, Andy, your beloved Sevilla know how to unpick defences of a certain kind in European competitions. Now, they usually come unstuck in the sort of second round or quarterfinal stage of the Champions League.
Yeah.
This season's a little bit different because there's not too many teams. I mean, Bayern and Liverpool, well, the recent injuries of Liverpool, perhaps not, but is there not a chance for a side like Sevilla to go further in this competition than perhaps they normally are?
Maybe, and I think you look at the rest of this group, I don't think Ren or Krasnodar will be pushovers because they're first-timers, but they're very ambitious as well. You know, there's been decent money spent on both of those. In Krasnodar, notably with the infrastructure. I mean, when the Spanish players were based there during the 2018 World Cup, and bear in mind that, you know, they're players from Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico, and they all turned up and they were like, holy shit, look at this place. It's incredible. So, you know,
all we've got to do is get rid of the manager and we'll have a lovely time.
So, yeah, there's ambition there. You think of Rennes when they got rid of Rafinha to Leeds. Mm. They replaced him with an 18-year-old, Jeremy Doku, for 26 million euros. You know, they're going hard at this. But they are first-timers. I think where Sevilla have got the drop in this group is the experience. I think that makes a massive difference. The game management is excellent. I think you look at them, you know, we've talked about goals, but they were really able to grind out results when they weren't playing particularly well in the back end of the Europa League. I mean, they had their hairy moments against Wolves and Manchester United and still managed to get through those without being rolled over. So I think they're going to need to dig deep because they're missing their best defender, Jules Koundé, who tested positive for coronavirus when he was away with the French under-21s. And again, if you go back to that Europa League final eight, I thought the interesting thing is Diego Carlos, who a few Premier League clubs were having a look at and Sevilla were demanding a lot of money for, he really suffered with direct runners, I think, in that. When you look at the penalties he gave away when he had Lukaku running at him and when he had Adama Traore running at him and when he had Anthony Martial running at him, Werner falls into that category, I think, which is quite interesting. So maybe that's a little opportunity for Chelsea. But I do think you look at the Sevilla squad and they're able to rest a few at the weekend. I think they're quite a difficult obstacle for Chelsea. I just want to ask Jim, I'm just going back to what you said before. When you were talking about Timo Werner's Premier League brace, are we talking about like him scoring a couple of goals or something that he puts in his mouth to sort of get him ready for
some sort of like, branded? Sort of,
yeah.
Well, Danny Ceballos does
the Premier League.
Yeah. So I don't know. It could be either, couldn't it? It could be some sort of performance enhancing mouth.
Should we really use the expression performance enhancing?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's unlikely because, you know, shouting to your teammates, it might be quite difficult. I know in the States, in America, in some levels of secondary school, high school soccer, they sometimes would have gum shields in there. And a couple of the lads are... played a few matches with, they say it's a bit annoying because you have to take them out to give instructions sometimes because sometimes it's a bit tricky. But I don't think that's what Jim meant about Werner's goals for Chelsea, no. Andy, you knob.
Yeah. going back to your point, Andy, you talk about Sevilla's game management being excellent. The opposite is true of Chelsea, isn't it? That seems to be Lampard's biggest flaw as a coach at the moment and the thing that he's clearly trying to work on and learn. But they do concede late goals.
He was defending his defence, though. Did you see that? Recently in the press,
someone's got to defend them.
Yeah, well, I was about to say,
they're not going
to
do it, are they?
Exactly. Yeah, what are you going to do, Frank? Stand in front of the back four and shield them? He was a bit like, oh, but if you look at the stats, you know, only Manchester City have conceded more shots than us, or something like that, in the Premier League. So it depends how you work it. Anything, I hear what you're saying, Frank.
Do you mean fewer?
Fewer, yes. But I hear what you're saying, Frank. But you are conceding goals. I mean, you just factually are. You shipped what, three against Southampton and.
And they're such bad goals as well.
I know, and I do worry for them. But what about Manchester United? They're away to Paris Saint-Germain. I mean, I mentioned Sevilla there. Could they go deep in the tournament? Looking at this Champions League, who is the favourite? I mean, is it still Bayern? They seem to be the side that seem to be the sort of least disrupted at the moment. You think about Barcelona at the moment. You think about Real Madrid. You know, both had very sloppy results and losses on the weekend.
Yeah,
it is Bayern's to lose, isn't it, Jim?
You would have put Liverpool in there before the unfortunate events of the weekend, I think, as well. You probably would say Bayern, because as you've touched on, they just seem to have remained consistent throughout this awful situation. But, you know, it's a long season, isn't it? And like, retaining a Champions League is a hard, hard thing. Obviously, Madrid did three in a row, but, like...
Well, what about Paris Saint-Germain playing against Manchester United? I mean, they nearly... you know, won it last time.
Yeah.
I guess the question is depth, really. I mean, that's what Thomas Tuchel has been talking about, because I still think it seems a bit rich them complaining about depth when you look at all the players who didn't play when they beat Nîmes on Friday night and they're still able, A, to play Kylian Mbappe, B, to bring in Rafinha, and C, to win 4-0, even if it was a little bit flattering. But the fact that they have lost experienced depth in Thiago Silva, in Cavani, in Meunier, that's a bit of an issue. But again, I think you look at this and, you know, they've got a few midfielders out, which I think gives United an opportunity. There's no Verratti. There's no Leandro Paredes, who was really good, I thought, in the final eight of the Champions League. But then again, they're able to bring in Danilo, who they just signed from Porto. We mentioned Rafinha, the younger brother of Thiago, who had a pretty good debut, actually, at Nîmes on Friday. So they do have that. And of course, from the weekend, they're able to bring back, to go next to Mbappe, both Di Maria and Neymar, which is, well, not bad.
It's all right, isn't it? It's not bad.
Neymar's been a bit silly, though, hasn't he, on social media recently?
Yeah, well, not really deliberately, though, isn't it? It's just a bit of an accident.
He stitched up Richarlison, Jim.
He didn't do it on purpose, though, did he?
Yeah, but he still did it, though.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Andy, do you want to talk us through this?
Yeah, this bone.
This was on Neymar's Twitch channel, wasn't it? And his phone went, and so he held it up to the screen. He goes, oh, look, everybody, look who's ringing. Thereby exposing Richarlison's number to everyone. And Richarlison tweeted afterwards, 5 minutes, and I've had more than 10,000 messages already.
I love that.
Thanks, Neymar.
I love the fact that many people seize that opportunity, because I wouldn't think of doing that. But then there's a lot of other people, Jim.
But I think it's extraordinary, isn't it? If you're Neymar, you think of the level of fame he's got. Oh, look, he's ringing me up. It's Richarlison. But then I mean, if it was the other way around, I could kind of understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is he not happy?
No, it's nice. It's nice. I think there's relatively few or relatively little airtime given to the Neymar is nice theory. So maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
After you guys.
I think we should end there, Andy. Well, of course, this Thursday, Football Ramble Presents will have On the Continent. So there'll be more European chat. If you liked what you heard, Andy, talking about Sevilla there and so on, then do get yourself over to Football Ramble Presents for more of that kind of stuff on the Continent. Should be a belter. That is the end of today's show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. On tomorrow's show, I shall be back with Vish and Pete to talk about some of that sweet Champions League action, which is happening this evening. Until then, say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.